the topic of whether whiskey, as we see it, is kosher or is not kosher, is unusual kashrus discussion, because we are so used to having food with hashgacha. We're so used to having food that we know is kosher because it's either amazingly innocuous, like bottled water, or because it has hashgacha on it. So we've been lulled into a very easy life as far as knowing the food is kosher. But in whiskey, for whatever reasons, that's not the way the market is set up. The food does not have hashgacha on it. As a rule, most whiskeys do not have hashgacha on them. And so we have to look at whether it's kosher from a very different perspective, which surprisingly, or shouldn't be surprising, was the way people judged foods 100 years ago. Okay, 100 years ago, and from before that, forever before that, you judged foods. The Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, from Kufiyut Aleph and Kufiyut Tes, there's all kinds of rules. You can eat this food, you can eat this food, based on assumptions of how you make food, and certain rules, and kolos, and roys, and all kinds of rules that are the way the Torah tells you whether you can decide if you can eat something or not. So we're going to use those traditional ways of looking at how you eat food, whether food is kosher or not, to decide whether it's kosher or not. Okay, there are quite a number of issues as to whether whiskey as we know it is kosher. I'm going to only limit myself to the three main issues that there are. Okay, there are other smaller issues that are more involved and more complicated, but the three main issues are going to be, first of all, whether there's stam yayin, or maybe some other things that are like that, that the actual beverage is made out of them. So we'd be concerned that it's not made out of a kosher raw material, it's made out of a non-kosher raw material. The second question is, naniach that the raw material is kosher, we'll talk about the process of aging. Does aging maybe make bleias of non-kosher come into it? Or things related to the questions of aging, does that bring a non-kosher bleia of stam yayin into the food? And the third question we're going to talk about is, at the very end of the process, they potentially add all kinds of things, flavors and blenders into the liquid, into the beverage. So are they at that point making a treif, not because of the inherent beverage, not because of the aging, but because they're adding something in right before bottling? They're adding something in to do something affecting taste. Maybe that should make the food not kosher.
You're saying whiskey? You're talking about whiskeys in general, not in a specific time.
Right. Are you using the word whiskey generically to mean all high alcoholic content beverages? All those kinds of things are called, I'm calling whiskey. Okay. Okay. So let's start with the first question. In order to understand what our child, if you just look at the chart just for a second, and we'll refer back to it here and there. Okay. Whiskey starts off with the first part of making a whiskey is you have to have sugar. Okay, you have to have a mash of sugar and water. Okay, that's the box here called box number 5. You have to have a mash of sugar and water. Then there's all kinds of ways to get your sugar, or what we would call more professionally called glucose. You have to have sugar and water. How are you going to get that? The most common way to get it is the first box, which is starches. The starch is broken down into its sugars, and that gives you your sugar. Or you take it from a fruit. Fruits have sugars naturally in them. Or milk has sugar in it. Well, lactose is a milk sugar. And there's other ways to get sugar, like cane sugar. Okay, in the first four boxes, the words in parentheses are what the final product is if you start with that. Meaning, if you start with cane sugar, the finished product is called rum. That's what rum is. And if you start with corn, then by and large, the finished product is called bourbon. That's not an exact definition, but basically, bourbon comes from corn, or at least from 50% corn. It doesn't have to be pure corn. That's something. Basically, corn leads to bourbon. Okay, so you have to get the goal here is to get to box number 5. You have to have sugar, and then when you have your mash of sugar, you ferment it into alcohol. Once you have your fermented alcohol, you would concentrate that alcohol. The alcohol content will only be like 12%. At that point, it stops fermenting. Okay, yeast can't function above that level, so you have to concentrate it to 40, 50, 60%, whatever you're going to make it. And now you have a whiskey. Okay, now we're at box number 9. You have a whiskey then. That whiskey, you age. In most cases, you age it. You blend it, potentially. We'll talk about that later. And then you bottle it. Off to the side, you saw that you could stop the wine once it's a wine, which is at 12%, and call it wine. Or you could take the whiskey and concentrate it further. If you concentrate the whiskey further, we'd be at box number 10, you get what we call ethanol, or just GNS stands for grain neutral spirits, which could become vodka, which could become gin. That's what those things are on the side. They don't get aged. Those are very the word low class. There's a different kind of, I think it doesn't get aged. You just concentrate it so far, then you dilute it with water, and you got yourself your vodka. Okay, and then you buy. Okay, so when we're talking about whether the product, the first question, which is the raw material possibly not kosher? Is the thing you make the wine out of not kosher, the whiskey out of not kosher? So we're talking primarily about the first top four boxes on the top. Really, we're talking about the second and the third one. Is it made out of grapes, which will be wine and will be potentially stamina, or is it made out of milk? And we'll talk about how that could come to it also. Okay? So the shaila is, I pick up a bottle of some kind of a whiskey. Do I have to be concerned that this the raw material is wine or is milk? Now, some of them, to much the people surprised, some of them, it says it right on the bottle. Okay, in many things, legally, it has to say it. So there are vodka has to say where it comes from. Legally, it has to say where it comes from. Now, where it comes from could just be grain-neutral spirits. But some of them will say that they come from wine, that they come from milk. It'll say right on the bottle that it comes from, which is the legally it's supposed to. So some of them, it's very obvious that they come from Stamyak. Okay? Or some of them, like cognac. Cognac is wine that was concentrated further to the point that it becomes whiskey. Okay, a cognac is when you do that from a specific place. Or brandy is any wine that's concentrated to 40-50%. That's what brandy is. You're saying you're drinking brandy, a true brandy, then you're drinking stuff that was concentrated, wine that was concentrated to a percentage that would be the kind of thing you drink for a whiskey. So if you're drinking brandy, I mean, unless it's hashkacha to it, of course it's tamyang. That's obvious. It's right there on the bottle. It says brandy on it. I say that la fuke. Fruit brandy. If you make brandy out of peaches, okay, you call that a peach brandy. Then that's not. Then the starting material, at least theoretically, is the fruit, not wine. Okay. But now let's talk about. So we have just a plain thing. It doesn't say on the bottle. It doesn't say on the bottle that it's made out of stam yain. There are times that it will say that. We have just a plain old bottle. You pick up a bottle of Tennessee whiskey. You want to? Is this thing? Do I have to be concerned that this thing is made out of stamyain or milk, or I don't have to be concerned? That's our first question. So there's a Gemara like this. This is not in your handouts. Okay? The Mishnah says like this. The Mishnah is Hamurais, which is about fish oil, and green is based on Nike. That's something else, not Vigetas. Hamurais, I'm skipping. So, Oivik Chavim, Asurun Visurun Isana. Divramir says that also to eat, and the Asur Bahana. Why? Rashi says, because the way you make this fish oil is you put in wine into it. And the Gemara is going to say later, we'll see in a second, that they put it in to take away the sharp taste of the fish oil. So it's also bana. Because stamyayin, at least surely in the times of the Mishnah, stamyayin is also bana. This is not in the Hidat, so stamyayin is also bana. So this fish oil is also bana. And chomer me'in yisur isra'na, they are not also bana. Even though it has the wine in it, it's not also bana. Okay, we'll see why in a second. So that's what the Gemara says. So you have this fish oil that typically has wine in it, and the thing is, you don't have to. It's a machlokes, so there is not also. It's for sure also bachilah because it has stamyain in it, but it might be. If you could turn them to the first page of the Kedah, the number one. The Gemara there on the bottom says this. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to copy another page. Look at that. The Gemara, I forgot to copy another page. The Gemara on Lama Testament page, which is what this page number one is going on, says like this. One of the things that are also bachilah and mutter bahana, okay, as mentioned before, which is kushin, she'ein darken lasis b'chachon yayin. These are pickled foods that you don't usually put wine into. So the Mishnah says pickled food that you don't usually make wine out of them, those things are asur b'achila, but not asur b'hana. Okay? So they're asur b'achila because they may have wine in them, but they're not asur b'hana. Okay, so the Gemara wants to say this. The Gemara wants to say on the bottom of the first page, kushin, she'darken lasis b'chachon yayin. So the Amr Chizkiya, lo shanu el she'darken. It's only mutter b'hana if it's a case where it's usual to put wine into it. It's common to do that. Avo b'yadua, asar filu b'hana. If you know that they put wine into it, not just that it's likely, but actually if it's right that they're going to put wine into it, then it's even asar b'hana. Why? Because it has stamyain into it. And stamyain, surely was my commission, was asar b'hana. So if it's asar b'hana, so you can't eat, the food is also asar b'hana. How is it different than Marais, the fish oil that the Chacham says mutabana? How can the Chacham say fish oil is mutabana even though it usually has wine in it? And how come, and here in the case of the Kushin, the pickled food, it's mutter? So they go on like this. Chasam lavure suama. In the case of the fish oil, the wine is only put in lavure suama to take away something, some bad part of the taste, and therefore the Chacham say that it's mutabana because it's, the way I understand it, you're not getting a hanah from it. The wine that you're drinking, this food, is making the food, taking away a bad thing. It's not giving you something positive, and therefore it's not asur b'hanah. But hachol and suki taima, here, by the case of the kedushin, why do you pickle your foods? You pickle the food because you want it to taste good, you don't want it to rot. Okay, so you want to, it gives up, well, I shouldn't even say this, it gives a positive flavor into the food, and therefore it's considered a hana, and you're not allowed to, it's also a hana, so you can tell me that. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, afilu b'yadu anami mutar, even if you know that the kedushin have wine in them, you're still allowed to have enough from them. So how is it different from a mayor who asks about it? A mayor says you're not allowed to eat it, the fish oil, if it has wine in it, you're not allowed to eat that. The Gemara says no, it's different. Hashem yediyah mamashi, hachal lo yediyah mamashi, mamashim, the Rashbam says, what it means like this: when you eat the fish oil, you eat the wine also. The wine is mixed into the oil, you're eating that wine with it also. So that's why it's asur b'hanah. But in the case of the pickled foods, you don't eat the juice, you only eat the vegetable. You don't eat the juice that's pickling in it. So there, since you don't really eat the stam yayin, the stam yayin is the wine or the vinegar that's pickling it, so therefore he holds it, it's not a sabana. Okay? So let me summarize what the Gemara just said. Okay, the din is like chisk here. Okay, the din is like chisk here. That says like this: if you have a food where it's likely that it has stam yayin mixed into it, okay, so if it's a case of the fish oil, where the fish oil is, with the stam yayin is just to take away the bad taste, okay, just lavur ezuama, then it's mutar b'hanah. It's also b'chilu mutar b'hanah. In the case where it's the musuki taima, it's to give positive, good taste into your food, then the din is the food is also b'chilu and also b'hanah. Okay, and the din is like chisky. That's the din is like chisky. Okay, so when you read this gemara, what would you say? The Gemara said two cases. There's a case where you usually put, there's kedushin that you usually, that you darken to put oil, wine into it, and that you know that there's oil into it. So now, you know that there's wine into it. So now I tell you, you go out into the street and you find a product. You find kedushin, you find pickles, okay? That's mama's case as well. You find pickles. And it's, in the industry, it's reasonably common that you put in wine into those things. You pickle it with wine vinegar. You're allowed to eat it, or you're not allowed to eat it. What would you say? Should you be allowed to eat it, or should you not be allowed to eat it? Okay, the Gemara is just talking about pickled foods. So Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan argue, what happens if you know that there's wine in it? Then it's for sure asur b'chilah, maybe asur b'hanah. What happens if it's common to do it, but you don't know for sure if they do it or not? So what's the din? So the din is, if it's common, the din is that you're not allowed to eat it. Okay, it's asur b'chilah. To asur b'chilah, and it's mutar b'hanah. So, but is there a case that it's mutar b'chilah? Is there such a thing as a case where you're allowed, where this thing is mutar b'chilah? With kedushin, you go into the street and you, the pickled foods that you commonly use wine in those foods. It's a part, a normal way to do that. You use wine that you're allowed to eat the food. Is there such a case? So the simple reading of the word, okay, the word doesn't say there's any case that it's mutar. There's a case that it's common, people do it. Not right of the times. Some of the times they do it. And if right of the times they do it, then it's asur b'chilah. So,
that's my annoying.
So now it's machlokes says if it's all the time, if it's for sure, then it's asur b'hanah. If it's not for sure, then it's asur b'chilah. But asur b'chilah should be all the time. Okay? Okay? So, if you read this Gemara plain by itself, you don't see any cases where there's a chash that this thing is made with stam yayin. There's any cases that thing should be mutter. So, that means is, if I go to get a, if I buy, pick up a bottle of whiskey, okay, just a generic thing of whiskey, should I be concerned that maybe the starting material was stam yayin? Is it common? Is it possible? Yeah, it's done, it's part, it's within reason that it should be done. So does that mean, is it mutter? From what, simple reading the Gemara, we haven't seen a reason to make it mutter.
Is that speaking where you don't know there's wine in it?
We don't know, right. If you know, then of course it's something to do. Okay, there's some of them, the things that, it says it.
It's not the norm to put wine in the whiskeys.
Okay, well,
I could be wrong, but
okay. So the question is, what does it take? And we're going to see more as we go. What does it take to be considered that it's normal? Okay, that's what we're going to come to, whether what makes it considered normal. What'd you say?
It ain't me.
Right. Okay. Okay. So now we're going to a completely different Gemara. Okay, I'm going to hold this Gemara on the side about the pickles for a second. Go to page 3. A completely different Gemara. The Mishnah. Okay. completely a completely different Gemara. Ir shekafshua karkum, page 3. The Mishnah, right in the middle of the page.
The Mishnah
is right in the middle of the page. Ir shekafshua karkum. There's a city that was taken over, that the army came and took over the city. So what's it in? Kol ha-kahanim shenim to b'sorchem p'suas. All the ladies married to kahanim who are found in that city become puzzled. Because we're there to their shvuyas. There's a Mishnah about a shvuya. A shvuya, we assume that they were ma'anas to shvuya, and she becomes us to her husband. So, Mieshlehem, Adam, okay? Okay, that's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says they become us. Zot the Gemara. I thought this was underlined, and I see I didn't underline it.
We now break for station identification.
That's what I'm looking for. Where are you?
10 lines on the bottom.
10 lines on the bottom?
11 lines.
Okay. Okay, he's correct. About 10 lines or so from bottom. Amar v'idibar oven, amar v'yisik barashiyon. Okay. In v'yishon machvua achas, if there's one place, if there's one place for them to hide, I mean, one place where we can assume they would have been able to hide, and the army wouldn't have been able to catch them, matzalaf ha-kahanas kulon. That saves all the kahanas. They all become, all the kahanas are mutter. If there's one place they can hide, they're all mutter, because we're told that each one of them hid in that spot, and each one of them can say, I'm the one who was able to hide in that spot, and I'm mutter. What's the din? If this hiding spot only has room for one lady, well, there's 20 ladies married to kahanim in town, and there's only room for one of them. Me, I'm reading kol chod v'chod ha'hainuha. Can each lady say, I'm the one who hid in that spot, and she's mutter? Or do we say that she can't say that? And as the Gemara is going to explain, that the problem is because it's a. How can it be? Couldn't possibly have all been in there. Okay, and the Gemara asks, "My stomach is shvilin," and "My stomach is shvilin." Echad tami echad tar v'holch be'echad mihem v'asa tyrus v'ochaver v'holch b'sheni v'asa tyrus. Who the aimer initial zefnatz tyrus shneim ba'ka'achas tmeis. So the Gemara says like this. So skip a few lines. So Amar Rav Itam Rav Yochanan bevas achas tiver kol tmein. Okay? So the Gemara says this. If all the ladies come to ask whether they should be mutter or should be usher, the din is that they're all usher, because Bezin can't pass because they're all mutter. There's only room for one lady to hide. How could 20 ladies have been in there? If they come separately, then they're able to. If they come separately, then we could be mutter them one at a time, because each one we could be told that she went there. Okay? So now turn to the next page. So we had a Gemara here that said, in this case of a Shvuya, if a lady comes by herself and there's one way to make it mutter, she could be titled that each lady could say, I'm mutter, because I'm the one who, or we could be, say, maybe you're the one who hid over there. Okay. We're going to never make a time wise. I'm going to go a little fast. Okay. The Dakimash says like this. The Dakimash says, what is it? The document says, you're right. Okay, warming me up. Okay, the document says like this. The Issa Hetta says that Gemara about Shvuyas is not only talking about Shvuyas. The Gemara about Shvuyas is telling us that any Issa drop, any time there's an Issa, or maybe only an Issa drop on them, any time there's an Issa drop on them to be choshes for, and there's even one way to think that it's mutter, you're allowed to be told. If it's even possible that there's one way, the lady could hit in one spot, she's mutter, then the din is, you could be toilet, and everything is mutter. What?
The lady has bath and a chaskas kashrus. And you only machkiach as kashkash and mukech lishaf. It's okay.
Reg, okay, good. Okay, so let me first say what the Isra'el says. The Isra'el says, you could always be toilet by all the rabbanim. So you ask, which is along the lines of what the Dakimash is, he says, what are you talking about? It's a special cooler for shvuyas. The lots of coolers, they start with a cheskas tire, if you want to say it like that. Shvuyas have lots of coolers.
He says, who said this is special by shvuyas?
Because there are many coolers about shvuyas. Because there's no reason to be chayshus. It's just a chash that maybe someone was married. There's no, we have no basis for it.
She's a zayin.
Yeah, but we have no basis for it. The issur of a shvuyas is only drabonis. We have no reason to think that she's usher. Let her decide for herself whether she's mutter or usher. Why would we say that she becomes usher because maybe something happened? We have no reason for that. There's no basis for that. So So he says, Uchayra, the Pasha said, it should be a special kula for Shavuos.
Mm-hmm.
But Isvet, and he has other kashas also. So he says, he also says, the other question, which is right to get to us, which is, the Gemara by us about the pickled foods sure sounded like it wasn't saying like this. What does the Gemara say? If it's normal to use the pickled, if it's normal to use stam yain in making the food, then it's also. It's not asur b'hanah, but it's asur b'achila. Well, aren't the people there who don't use stam yain? Isn't there such a thing? So this is going to have to say that we don't know that there's somebody who uses the kula. Okay? So the way that, I'm going to skip.
Okay.
The Ramos paskins, even after all his kashas, he paskins like the Yisrael Heter. It says, by all Yisrael Rabbanon, in this case, on the din of Pushin, by all Yisrael Rabbanon, he paskins, if you have a possibility, I'll say how the shach is, if you know that there's somebody who makes it Beheter, or if it's a big fit industry and there's lots of people, and you know there's plenty of people, basically, there must be somebody out there who's making it Beheter, you're allowed to be Tola that your guy is the one who made it Beheter. You pick up your bottle of schnapps. Are there people who make schnapps without Stam Yain into it? Of course there are. So since it's only Issa to Rabbanon, so you're allowed to be Tola that you have the one who didn't make it with the Issuri Hamas.
Unless you bring all the bottles in one shot.
So that's exactly what I'm saying, right there. Well, thank you. We're going right there. So according to this, the person could be told completely that he was using the heter. So I'm not the one who thought of this kula. Ramosha brings this. Ramosha's famous shuvah, which is printed later on, to say that you shouldn't be worried about iser that stam yain being mixed in. So Ramosha says. He says in the less famous part of his Jewish, he says, well, the Ramah says that it's Mutter. The Ramah says you could be Tyler. He says, we're only talking about Issa Drabonin. So if you go back to this chart, the scarier chart, the Issur that we're talking about, the chart that's on the separate page, the issue that we're thinking about here is Stam Yain, that's an Issa Drabonin. The other issue that we're talking about is that potentially the other trait of raw material that it could come from is from milk. Okay, the milk in this case is only Issa Drabonin. Okay, if we can talk about it. The milk that we're talking about is only milk into Drabonin. Lactose is only milk into Drabonin. Okay,
mm-hmm.
That's for a separate shoes. Okay, lactose is only milk Drabonin.
Right.
So Ramosha doesn't talk about lactose, but Ramosha brings this Rama that says that you can always be makel for an Issa Drabonin. You could be toiler that it came from the heter. It came from the person who didn't make an Issa Drabonin. So in case the chash here is the raw material chash is
Stam Yain. Why is lactose
Issa Drabonin? We'll talk about it. Okay, just believe me for now. Lactose is only.
What? Milk is only something I have
to know. To eat milk and meat together?
If you consider milk, if you consider it,
yes, you're right.
They make scotch. They make scotch steak sometimes.
Okay.
They do.
Okay.
What about the guy that
drinks lactose? We talk about answers. Lactose is only milk that's good for him. And the other issue that potentially the bishul, the green asakim, all the other potential things that can go wrong with it are all drabonim, and therefore, except if you think the animals might be traitors, okay. But everything else is an issur drabonim. And everything else is an issur drabonim. So Ramosha says, so you could be titled, and everybody pick up, you could get smoked.
Do you know where this children?
Yeah, it's printed in there. It's printed in there. Don't worry about it. We're getting there.
It's eliminated three quarters of fashion.
I told you.
So for the people who came late,
whiskey is unique. That it's not unique. It's one of the few foods that doesn't have hashgacha on it, and we're judging it based on what the real din is. What would be the din? What would the mechaber have said 200 years ago? Could you eat this food? Could you not eat this food? Not whether we live in a very different world where the food has hashgacha and we're used to it, and it's proper.
What did
you say?
What
did you
go for kasha? Why didn't it hashgacha for? For the
why does food need to, the Ramah says, I didn't make it, the Ramah says you're allowed to go out and buy pickles in the street because you can assume, you could be told that they didn't use, that they didn't use
that.
Right, a lot of what you do then is for, well, certain foods you need hashgacha on, and a lot of things we do are lechatchila that are not.
Is that where kosher dill pickles comes from?
Even if there is hashgacha, so you tell me that didn't, let's say in a candy industry, certain candy, 90% of the candies are traced, but they're made a certain way, but 10% are made differently in their kosher. 9% of certain ingredients, right?
And it's Yisur
Drabonin. Okay, you can eat any candy because
you're looking at me like soul of the mood. I would maybe be apprehensive to tell you if not the Ramosha says it, but the Rama says that it's mutter. He said you can go out and buy pickles. Do you think you could buy pickles without hashgacha? You say, are you crazy? You know, they could use wine vinegar. But that's exactly the case I was talking about. He says, you could buy pickles, eat, or pickled foods. He doesn't say pickles.
Okay, fine.
Now,
so don't operate this way.
Now, wait a second. Now, the question's like this. Moshe's question's like this. The correct question, which is, that's true if you're a private citizen asking, I pick up a bottle and say, can I drink this?
Mm-hmm.
That's bowl the shabbat. The I picked up. I want this bottle. I want to know if you can eat it. But now it comes to the hashgacha. We or everybody else prints a list that says the following things are all mutter.
Are recommended.
However you say it. All these things are mutter. We make a list.
Not recommended.
We say we'll say. Let's say the list says.
I like that. Not
all.
Rabbi Fishman, please don't talk.
All Tennessee whiskey. We'll say. Let's say for example, it's all mutter. Now, aren't we saying? Aren't we bowl the shabbat? We just mastered 50 things all at once. Now, even if we could be told that there are specific, if I pick up a specific Bible, I could say, this one I could say is mutter. How can I be master them all? How can I write a list? All of this and all this. Can I say all vodka is mutter? Because the raw material is not stam yayin, except for the few that I know, the shiraz, and well, the few ones that I know that are not. Can I say they're all mutter? How can I say they're all mutter? Isn't there some people who make vodka out of, of course, there's definitely people who make vodka out of stam yayin, out of milk. So, how can I say the woman? Aren't I being bogus with Vasachas? So for that, turn to page 6. Okay, this is Rabbi Shechter's answer to the question. Okay, from a Ramban. The Gemara says like this: if the ladies came,
whose question was that? By the way,
whose question was this?
No.
This was my question to Rabbi Shechter. Okay, so. Rabbi Moshe is not talking about it. Moshe is talking about a private person. Is he allowed to eat the food? Okay, so, but now, the question is, but now does that translate to a hashgacha being allowed to say this mutter? So Rabbi Shechter said like this. The Gemara said, you had the ladies, and the din is that they're allowed to be tugla. They're allowed, if yesha machvua, they can be tugla. Fret the Gemara, what happens if there's only room in the machvua for one person? And then the Gemara talks about whether one person is not. So fret the Ramban, he says, wait a second. When we said there was a machvua, he says, Does that mean that hiding place had room for everybody? Before we said, if there's only room for one person, what was before that case? What was the case that the Gemara said, for sure you could be matzah, and the Gemara, it's not even happening, the Gemara said, in that case, even the Vatachas, you could be matzah. Was that a case where there was room in the hiding place for everybody? So why did the Gemara say that? Why did the Gemara have to say the case? The Shaila is, what happens if there's only room for one? Why did we just say, what happens if there's not room for everybody? Why did we say, what happens if there's only room for one person? Say, what happens if there's room for less than all the amount of people in town? Is mashma from the Gemara.
Mm-hmm.
That the heter, even for everybody, is even in cases where there's not room for everybody.
Yeah.
The only case that we're asking is a case where there's only room for one person. If there's room for one person, then Bezdin can stand up and say you're almost. It looks mom's a joke. How can it all be looked at? There's 25 ladies in town. There's only room for one. You're all hidden there. But if there's room, if there's room for five people, if there's room for five ladies, even if there were 20 ladies in town, it doesn't look.
There's at least one lady which they have to say no about it.
What'd you say?
At the very least. Well, you can't. They have to say one.
They can't. No. They would say everyone's mutter.
You can't say everybody.
No, everybody. They would be mutter. Everybody. Even if there's only room for five.
You can't say everybody.
If what? If there's only room for one person.
Right.
But if there's room for five people, yeah. We could be mutter everybody, even though there's many more than five people. Because that doesn't look so silly to be mutter everybody. That's what I'm saying. He's the back there from the Gemara.
So what's the shear?
So, I don't know what the shear is. But for what we need to know is, in the us, can we say that all of a whole class of whiskey are mutter, a whole class, even though we know that there are some out there who are doing it not, but our case is not a case where there's only room for one person. It's not just that there's only one guy out there, and I'm being told, that's what you think. The Ramah is saying, I can tell if I even know one guy is Mako, I don't know who, I know there's one guy who doesn't use Stam Yain, I can eat everyone. Here, there's lots of people who don't use it. It's not just one person. So then I can be master everybody, even the Vasachas, even though I have no way of knowing which is the person I'm being. I might be giving you an issue that you're allowed to be Torah, even for everyone all at once. Okay? That was Rabbi Shechter's answer to the question, which is very
strong.
I mean, yeah.
You answer your question, let's pick one brand. I'm not going to master that one.
You're saying it's to therefore to. To get away from the problem of Bo and Lucian Vasakas.
Yes.
Okay, why should we pick on somebody?
We'll find out one.
There are ones that say specifically that they have Stam Yain. Those obviously we can't be mad at.
So, okay, that's just one of my
theories. No, because between everybody else, are there ones out there who aren't telling us using Stam Yain who really are? Yeah, there are. Are there people making vodka from Stam Yain that are not telling us?
No, of course, for sure. Maybe they're not.
We don't know it for sure.
Right. Maybe they'll lose it totally. But
they're lying that they don't because they'll put it in.
Okay.
What time are you
sleeping? Tonight? 3:45.
Shall I wake you up?
You will come, Taka, and to be the chazik.
Good.
And
Yes. Keep them alive. We will force at 3:45 from the entertainment. You know.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So now. Now, things like this. Rav Moshe and his tshuva, which we'll get to more in a second. The main part of Rav Moshe's tshuva is about something else, which is our next topic. But Rav Moshe starts with the tshuva saying like this. Rav Moshe says, you should know that there's lots of shaylos about drinking whiskey. I don't drink schnapps because of these chashashas that there are. Unless someone comes to me, so I'm assuming you are right, I think it doesn't look nice, it looks like I'm showing off, so I'll drink it.
Rav Moshe orders, even if there is a wine for sure, it's
more than that. I'm not upset yet. But Rav Moshe says, wait, I'm coming back. The beginning of the truth starts like this. If there are lots of shayos, and therefore, I don't eat it, but if someone comes to me, I will, because I hope in the dinner truly mutter. So Rav Moshe says, I won't eat it. I won't take it l'chatchila. So now, in discussing the main part of the tshuva, the more famous part of the tshuva about the Bittul B'Shisha, which we're coming to next, there Rav Moshe explains why each one of his stadim l'hakel has a reason to be machmir. For each one of his stadim l'hakel, he says, but there are others who are machmir. So we understand good and well why he would choose to not eat the food l'chatchila. Why only eat it if someone asks him to do it? L'chatchila wouldn't. But to this point, that you should be say we should be allowed to be tayla that there's no issur d'rabbanan. He doesn't say why. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't explain any tzad b'hachmir. He brings the Ramah says that it's mutter because with tayla that you could be make about issur d'rabbanan. So l'chayra, this heter is such a big heter. So let's have others start them. There are other reasons to be machmir about bittul b'shisha. This should be matter everything. So why is the Moshe saying that? Why is the Moshe saying that he would eat the stuff l'chatchila? The thing about bittul b'shisha, he has all the tzad l'hachmir. But what about this? There's no tzad l'hachmir over here. What's the tzad? Okay. So the tzad l'hachmir, which we're not going to get into, is that even though I told you that the Ramah says this from the Issur Heter, there's a pile of others who disagree with it. Okay. The Mechaber himself who doesn't bring it. There's a Rashi who disagrees with it. There's lots of people who disagree with this thing to say that the din of shvuya applies to all cases of Yisur Rabbanan. Most assume that it's just a case by shvuya, a special rule by shvuya. Most people do not hold like the Ramah. So the Ramah says it's mutter. So Ramah says it's mutter. Ramah doesn't explain why he's choosing to be machmir. He's choosing machmir, I guess, because of the way you feel. Like, what are you? Are you crazy? Are you going to just be naked and get rid of all Yisur Rabbanan?
So certainly you'll feel like it goes against the grain of just no. General stock that we usually do. Right. Yeah, 90% of it is a problem. 10% don't. It's Yisur Rabbanan, so fine.
So Rav Moshe, maybe that's why he doesn't bother to explain why for this he chooses to be machmir by himself. I mean, he ultimately didn't let it smoother. But it's just a point. There's quite a whole bunch of riots of people who are not like the Ramah does. The Ramah himself, in the Daki Moshe, said he's surprised what the Issur Heter says. I'm saying the Ramah himself said that, if you look in the Daki Moshe. So the fact that he's Mekel is a Chiddush that he's being Mekel. And that's presumably why Rav Moshe would hold that it's mutter min adin, but not a baal nefesh. When he calls it a baal nefesh, shouldn't eat. Okay.
Like milk.
Yeah, I guess it's somewhat different. Okay. Okay. Now the second issue. Okay, the first issue we talked about was should we be choshish that the raw material itself in the wine that the schnapps is made out of has stam yain or milk. That's what the shayla is. The second shayla is down on box number 14 after the whiskey is already. In a more traditional whiskey, not like a vodka, a more traditional whiskey. Once the whiskey is all ready, it ages. It sits in barrels for years and years and years, which helps develop the flavor of the whiskey. Okay.
I'm sorry, but I don't even see over in Dr. Moshe where he says it's mutter.
Are you on
this one?
Right. Are you on both pages, Dr. Moshe? He brings this little heter on the first page, and then he keeps.
Then he says,
But the Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch brings this to the Heter and his Maker.
Okay.
The Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch, which is on page 7, the Ramah brings it and he says, and he's Maker. Okay? So the Ramah is Maker.
So the Ramah argues on himself.
No, he's questioning what this Heter says, but in the end, I get it's a Shalom of the Ramah, so he's accepting what this Heter says. Okay, you see, in the Ramah, the Ramah himself is Maker. Okay, so now, the Shaila of the first one, so now, we're talking about now whether there should be Blias coming out of the, in this aging.
Okay, can I just stop you 1 second?
Sure.
You say that it's technically possible that every single type of this whiskey, you know, vodka, gin, could have grape in it or milk in it?
every single last one of them technically is possible. You want to ask me, is it theoretically possible or is it actually possible?
Theoretically.
In theory, you can make vodka out of any sugar source. You have to, at box five, you have to have sugar.
No, you could.
What?
You can make vodka out of soya.
But that I'm not sure about.
The Russian peasants.
Okay, in box number five, when you
get an animal,
yeah, see, when you get to box number five, and you have sugar. You get box number five, you have sugar. Okay?
Right.
How you got to that sugar is of no significance. To make whiskey is of no significance. It only makes a difference because you want to have a certain taste to it. So other elements of the taste come through if you start with barley or corn. But if you're going the route of making vodka, you're going to get rid of all that taste. It's called grain neutral because it makes no difference what the grain started with.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to, by concentrating it to 95%, you get rid of all that taste. So your starting material plays no role in the finished product.
Mm-hmm.
Vodka made out of potatoes and vodka made out of corn taste the same thing. They have no, whichever starting material you started with doesn't make a difference to the final product.
Okay.
As opposed to, if you make whiskey, regular whiskey, out of corn and out of barley, it tastes different. Because those taste components carry through. If you go into a route down of like vodka and gin, once you go to 95%, right, you wipe out everything. That's what's called grain neutral. It makes no difference what it came from. It's of no significance. If you go that route, you could have just as well started with milk. If you live in Australia, you make it out of milk. But in New Zealand, because they have lots of milk, they'll make the lactose into alcohol, which could be used as vodka. That's what it is. It doesn't make a difference what it started from. But so in theory, you could make, all vodka could be made out of trace raw materials, but in Lamaisa, it's not what it is. It's cheaper to make things out of corn and wheat and potatoes than it is to make it out of grapes. But there are plenty of people who do make it out of grapes. There's a group of people who make it out of grapes, or when the market is right, blah, 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 they'll make it out of grapes. But most days of the week, people are going to make it out of grains. That's the normal way to make it. It's cheaper. That's a.
In Europe, we call it something.
Two things. Does it taste different when you make it out of?
The vodka? No, it
does
not.
It doesn't?
Doesn't.
And can you also give it to a lab and they can tell you when it's made out of?
I don't believe so. Because once you get to box number five, okay, which is when you get just a mix of sugars,
right.
at that point there is carryover from the food. The lab still could tell. Once you concentrate to 95%, it's called grain neutral spirits because it's of no difference what their grain is. Everything's been boiled out of it. It's just pure alcohol.
So 95% the highest? Like
yes, it's be'eruf the highest. You can get to like 95%. After that, you can't. It's almost impossible to purify more than that.
So that's, what they call Zex 9 again? Is 95%?
That I don't know. I can't.
Okay. 96%.
Okay.
Maybe not.
I can't comment on that. Okay. So now, we're trying to do about aging. This is probably the most famous child about wine,
yeah.
About whiskey, and in particular, the Shilas particularly applies to Scotch, because the way what you do is you age the whiskey in a barrel, and it sits there for years and years and years, and that improves the taste of the whiskey. In most whiskeys, most places in the world, they do it in any old barrel. In fact, like in bourbon, you have to adopt use new barrels, and the people who make Scotch have this thing that there's a culture of doing it in sherry casks. Sherry is a kind of a wine. So there's a culture of doing it like that, and therefore there's more of a shiloh for those kind of things. Okay? So shiloh is, should we be cautious that the scotch was made in those sherry casks? Now, if we don't know, then one of the things we have to consider is the first thing we were talking about. Which the first shiloh, which is maybe I don't have to be choishes for it. The whole Ramach, that's all sad. That's what Ramach also says that. Maybe I don't have to be choishes for it. That's one thing. But in many cases, it's very clear. They tell you that they're using it. Okay, it's very obvious that they're using it. That they're proud of it, and they tell you straight out that they're using it. So we can't be making on things. Oh, we'll be told that they don't use it because they do use it. We know that they use it. So the shiloh then is there a way to be making even if they use it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. So Ramach says Ramach's kula. In few words, is that he says the din is that stam yain is both the bashisha into certain things, and therefore he thinks that Ramosha's case is not talking about barrels.
Okay,
a misconception. He's talking about the amount of pouring the wine right in. That putting, but the shiloh in most situations applies. The issues apply almost exactly the same to bleas. So he says it's both the bashisha. Since it's bought the machine six times, so therefore, in his case, they were using the 2.5%. We'll see why in a second. So they were using 2.5%. It's bought the machine, and so the
things should, the finished product should be mutter. Even though we know that it has time in it. Even if we know, we can't use the first kula.
Yes.
So the first thing, before we get into the shiloh of it, is if you could turn to page... here's a Moshe Tshuva over here. We have to turn to page... Oh, okay. You know what? I'm sorry. It is covered by Stamian. What do you mean there's no covered by Stamian?
If you put water into wine barrel, right? Mutter.
Yes.
So why is it different?
So why
is... It's not a case of rice, it's a case of the shower casket.
So your question is...
Not a casket.
So your question is, the Gemara says that the bli of Stam Yayin is less common to other liquids. So just like in Cain, you should be able to be makel and say that it should be mutter into wine also.
Yeah.
It's hard to say that cool in this case when the person, right, two things. First of all, because the person is putting it in where he wants it to give a good taste. That's his, he's doing because he thinks it does give a good taste. And I'll add a wrinkle to that is that the idea of schnapps, tape whiskey, the technology to make whiskey was not around the times of the Gemara. So it's not, the Gemara says it for all beverages. Okay, we'll see more in a second what the Gemara is talking about. Whether it should apply to whiskey also, which is also an alcoholic beverage, it's not a thing that existed. For example, bleed to Stam Yayin and not mutter into Stam Yayin. If you put wine into wine,
right.
So a whiskey into wine, which is, if it had existed in the Gemara, we would just say that it's lafkam, but it really didn't exist in that time, and the people dafka wanted it. So it's hard to say that it's lafkam into this thing. But that's good. Okay. We're switching, turn to page 13. I missed page 12. But turn to page 13, yes.
How long do you have time for tonight?
I'm that's why we're doing this now. It's practice. I'm not
right.
Right. That's right.
Okay.
The shayla is like this. The bliya of, we're saying that Rav Moshe is talking about a case where he knew that there was 2.5% wine going into the water, into the schnapps. But we're not talking about that case. We're talking about a bliya from a cask going into the schnapps. So, do we have a right to say that the bliya, those bliyas are also about the b'shisha? Okay, so normally you say, well, that's an obvious question. There's always six times in a container versus what the walls of the container are. That of course it's obvious that it should be like that. Okay, in fact, it's not true.
Really?
In fact, it's not true because the casks that they use to store schnapps are be'erach, an inch thick. Okay, they're not very large at all. They're like 50-gallon drums. They're like an inch thick, the walls. And if you look at the numbers here in the math on page 13, you'll see that there's only about four times as much liquid as there is wall.
Are you serious?
Yeah. There's only about...
So small?
The barrels have walls that are about an inch thick.
So what? But the barrels, 8 inches.
The whole 50 gallons,
right. So if you look at the math, if you don't... Not only... I can't vouch for the math.
So you're saying sherry casks. What is sherry?
Sherry's a kind of wine.
It's just pure wine.
It's a kind of wine. Plus, it's not important. It's
so
kind
it
of
is
wine.
Important, because if it's not
100%
wine...
Oh, no, wine, it's pure wine.
It's pure wine.
Yeah. Okay. So if you look at the math over here, done together with the head of the Department of Physics in some college.
You need a mathematician for this?
Yes, you need a mathematician because the barrels are not straight. The barrels have a bulge in them. But to figure out the bit in the bulge was beyond my mathematical capabilities. So my neighbor's father-in-law is this person.
He's a physicist.
He's a physicist, but he lives in this math. He gave this a similar assignment, a different child we had, to his graduate students as like a paper. To figure out the answer to a different child that he had. A different child that covers. Okay? So he used to like to do these things. So he did big parts of the math of this. Okay? And it came out there's only about four times as much liquid as there is walls of the thing. Okay? So Rav Moshe is talking about you put the N in, and we're talking about kids because Lachoyer should be two different childs. Okay? So the reason why this is a mistake, the reason why this, what I'm saying to you is a mistake, is because there's another thing, which is the Ramos says that if you...
I'm just incredulous. I just can't believe there's only four times to the barrel.
Okay.
So
you can...
I'm sorry to...
Okay, so you're welcome to look at this at your leisure.
I got it.
You have a whole night.
And the barrels are standard?
This is a barrel size. We got it from a barrel manufacturer and whiskey manufacturer. We're using barrels of a certain size. So I'm not saying it's always going to be 4.24 times. You know, the next time might be 4.5 or 3.5 or 5.
Right.
But to say that it was 6 was not, it didn't seem within striking range of being 6. So the reason why that's a mistake is because, the Shiloh's a mistake, is because the Ramah says that the way you kasher bli of kavush of stam yain is through milu the irun, and he has some other ways he can kasher. And there's another way to kasher. You can scrape off a kedei klipa's worth of the kli. If you scrape off a kedei klipa's worth of the kli, then you could use it for kasher also. And the Ramah in the Mechaber says someplace else more clearly that the reason for that is because le'inyan bli is a stam yain. This is a special kul by stam yain. We say that the bli only goes in kedei klipa. Even though usually we say kavush kumavushal goes in kedei kuloi, the bli goes all the way through the whole thickness of the kli. It's a special kula by stam yain that we assume the bli only goes in kedei klipa. Therefore, if you have a kli that had a bli of stam yain, you could kasher just by scraping off a kedei klipa because we don't assume there's any bli beyond it. And
you look at the kli.
So the klipa connected to the product.
The product
is going to be part of the
machine. I don't know.
Do we know what measurements the klipa is?
I don't know, but it's going to get us past 4, 6. Okay. If it's at 4 1/4, and I'll 6 inch thick, I don't care how big the klipa is, we're going to make it to 6.
Okay.
I'm not worried. That doesn't bother. Okay, so we overcame a hurdle, okay, just to say that it's potentially about the machine. So Ramosha says, we've got past that, okay? So now we can now say that what Ramosha says about putting the end of stam yain is similar to our style of a bli of stam yain, okay? Ramosha has, I'm not going to have time to go through all the 6 reasons. Ramosha has 6 reasons to think maybe it shouldn't be Baltim Shisha, okay? I'll quickly read you off, and then there's one and two that I want to focus on. Some say that stam yain is not Baltim Shisha, it's only Baltim Shisha, okay? There are those who say it like that. Ramosha says, yeah, I mean, the Mechaber and the Ramah are Mekel, but there are those who say like that, so the Baal Nefesh maybe should be Machmir for that Shita.
Who says
to be Machmir?
Machmir?
I don't remember who says to be Machmir. The Mechaber and the Ramah say to be Mekel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Then some say, this is Machlok is now a Taz and a Shach, as to whether Stam Yain is Bata B'Shisha into water or into all liquids. Okay? So Ramosha says the Din is Lahokel, it's into all liquids, but there's a Taz to be Machmir and say it's only into water. And it wouldn't be Bata B'Shisha into this. Then there's a sheet of a Rajbo, which is its own question, is maybe if you put something in on purpose, it can't be bottled. So in that case, the Ramosha is the way they put it on purpose. Maybe it can't be bottled. But the two that I want, and then the last is, which is the overriding reason.
And does it make a difference if it's a Jew or a Rajbo puts it in?
If it's put in on purpose?
Yeah.
No. It's a Rajbo hold that with bittul means that it's so unimportant it can be bottled. But if I tried, if I wanted it in the food, how can you say that it's bottled? I wanted it. Okay, then that's actually the inherent opposite of bittul. But then, in Ramosha, the overriding reason, which is for sure true, there's no one to argue, which is that it's behemish har b'chacham. If it takes us an hour to get through half the shilas of it, then it's behemish har b'chacham, and it's baal nefesh should not eat it. That's an overriding reason that no one can argue with. And we're only touching on 3 of the shilas. There are other smaller shilas. The two that I wanted to talk about are like this.
Is that a shir?
What?
Is that a real shir?
What is a real shir? That if it takes a half an hour, then it's a behemish har b'chacham? No.
That's the best you have.
Okay.
That's how I started with that.
Okay, so like this. Ramosha says, the Mati Yonison says that if you put in something, if you put it in to improve the beverage, you think that's going to make your food better, then everyone holds it's not part of the Bashisha. Bit the Bashisha is only when it's just in there, and you say, yeah, Shisha, once it's pure Shisha, it doesn't help. But if it is there to task it to help your things, then it's not possible.
Are you only talking about bottle b'shisha?
Yes, only bottle b'shisha.
That's the b'shisha?
Right. Correct.
Nothing to do with it.
Right, because shisha means after shisha there's no time. It couldn't be helping the food. But here it gives time. And shisha still gives time. But if it's there on purpose to improve it,
well, it
then it's
nothing. Because why else would they add ingredients?
No, help like help could be other things like then shisha might mean, but it could be help to be balanced pH or some other reason.
Uh-huh,
okay.
Uh-huh.
Now, so Ramosha says, this sheet of the Mati Yonison, okay, he said there is no Makar to such a sheet. Okay? He says, Ramosha says there is no, I don't remember the words, it's probably underlined in the papers by Ramosha. He says there's no Makar to such a sheet. But he says, listen, he says, maybe the Mati Yonison was a big guy. He says, maybe if he would be around, he would be able to prove it to us. So he says, so that's a reason why he says the Baal Nefesh should be Makar. Okay, now, well, the reason why I mentioned it's the fourth reason, so you should be able to find him Revius. Revius is on page 11. Okay? The reason why I mention it is because like this. This idea that Ramosha thing, this fourth reason to say there's no bitter b'shisha when it's there to improve the beverage, is something that many people have taken as the way they hold. They take the shita very much for real, and they say like this. They say, once you hear this, it'll sound familiar to you. Yanki, you should listen. They say like this. They say, if they put in the sherry and they're proud of it and they think it gives good taste. Like there's one shita in scotch makers, which is you're supposed to put in lots of sherry and it gives a great taste to the food, to the scotch, then we're going to answer it. But if they put in sherry just to offset the beer taste in the barrels and things that they put, but they don't make a big to-do about it, which is the main shita in scotch makers. They hold that the sherry is not supposed to give a taste into the scotch. It's just supposed to, like, you know, get rid of tannins and who knows what else. Then, if you hold like that, then we'll boom to be maker. Now, where did that come from? Where did such a shita come from? So it sure sounds like it's this Mati Yonison, that if the guys put it in on purpose, because they want to, I don't mean on purpose, they gave it to give taste, to add to the food, then it's usher. And if they put it in just to make it, to offset some kind of a problem, then it's usher. And that's the thing, that Ramosha, then it's mutter. This is the thing that Ramosha says, there's no basis to such a shita. So I'm only going to explain to you why I think people say it. And I don't think it's exactly what the Mati Yonison says. Okay? What I'm saying is, this thing that I've heard from many people who tell you what they think about the kashrus of whiskeys will tell you, if about scotch, will tell you, if they tell you that they put it in and they put lots of it and they put it in different tastes and they're all proud of it and you can taste it when you drink the beverage, then it's awesome. But if they put it in and just a little bit, just to offset some taste, then it's mutter. Okay? So now, there's two reasons to say why, for the basis for those people. One is, maybe they're just saying because it looks bad. How could the rabbi get up and say, you're allowed to drink this thing, when the guy is telling you straight out to your face, I put in Stam Yayin because I think it makes my thing taste good? It just looks bad. How could it's like a Musa de Tamiya that the rabbi should get up and say on his stationery, you can drink this thing, when the person who makes the food tells you, I'm telling you that I put Stam Yayin into it. So maybe in Din, maybe it's mutter. Maybe they're not saying because it's mutter. In Din it's mutter. But what kind of a problem does it have to say that we can't live without this food? We have to say that it's mutter even when the guy says I put trace into my food? So it looks bad. You can't say such a psak. But it's mutter. There's plenty of other things to drink. I'm not a drinker, but there's plenty of other things to drink. It just looks bad. That's one. No. There's another side to say why those people are hachmir, which is like this. The first reason Ramosha has to say why it shouldn't be bought to Bashisha is because he says, maybe, and he thinks this is wrong, but he says, maybe when it's mutter b'achila, it's only mutter b'shisha, if it's mutter b'shisha, it's mutter b'achila. But maybe you're still getting hanof from the thing. Or if you're getting hanof from the thing, then it should be also because Stam Yayin is also b'hanof. Stam Yayin, according to many days, even nowadays, is also b'hanof. So he says, so maybe it's also, maybe bitter b'shisha only helps to make it mutter b'achila. But maybe that doesn't help to make it mutter b'hanof. In cases where it gives hanof, it shouldn't be mutter b'hanof.
So
Ramosha says he thinks the din is that it really is mutter b'hanof, even though Ramosha is not like that and the Shach is not like that, but that's what Ramosha said. But now, so Ken Zayin, that in a case where the guy puts it in and he tells you, I think my beverage is going to taste even better because I put in so much sherry into it, then what did the guy do? Then we're having hanof from it. He thinks that his product is made better because of that. The other guys are minus what the Gemara says. We had the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Lavure Zuama. If they're putting it in, the Gemara said itself that was a reason to say it's not a Hanah. The very first Gemara we saw was, the Gemara said, if Chizkiah holds that if in case of the fish oil, it's mutter b'hanah, because, why is the fish oil mutter b'hanah? Because they put it in lavur zuama, so it's not going to be getting Hanah from it. So that's mamish what goes on here. The guys who put it in just to offset the taste, there's no Hanah from this thing. They're putting it in just to offset the taste, so I'm not getting Hanah from it. So then, it's just a question of Isur Yachila, and there's just the Bashisha. If you're the kind of guys who put it in because you say it's going to make the greatest product and you're going to taste it and you're going to make a great product, the ones who are more proud of it, so to speak, that's Shita in Scotchmakers, those guys, then attack it. It's not like Uri Suama, then it's to give Tam, like the Gemara said, and then it should be even Asabana, in which case we then run into the first thing Ramosha says, that Bitla Bashisha might only work for the Isra Achila, not for the Isra Hanah.
Isra Hanah
is what?
Isra Achila is automatically Hanah.
Yes, but Ramosha is saying that something could be mutter b'achila, meaning the wine is bakta b'shisha. You're not considered to be eating wine, but you're getting hanof from the wine. You're getting hanof from having this wine, even though you're not getting an isra achila for that.
By saying it's mutter b'achila, you're saying it's mutter b'hanof.
That is what Ramosha says. Ramosha says he really thinks like you said, which is that once the food is bakta b'shisha, it's not wine.
Not there anymore.
It's not wine, so how can you say it having hanof from it?
Not there anymore.
Right, so Ramosha, I'm saying, really holds that Stam Yayin, Ramosha says, really it's Bata B'shisha, and it applies even to Yisur Rehanah.
Right.
But he says, the reason for people to be Machmir, for the Bali Nefesh Machmir, one of his reasons is to consider this to be considered an Yisur Rehanah, even though, like you're saying, the simple understanding is that it's not Yisur Rehanah. Right? I'm just saying is to now explain why some people will say that these kinds of kashrus are mutter and these ones are aser based on the kavana of the people putting it in has some kind of a place to it.
The way you're saying that you're making it sound like this, the difference in the industry
right.
actually has, I don't know what to do. Some will just use it to take out the taste.
Yes.
And some will use it to improve the
yes.
taste. I thought that it's a machlokes of what happens here.
No.
And they're both doing the same thing, but
okay.
you know, some say what happens is it's giving a tom. Some say no, it doesn't do anything. It just
you're right. Yes, you're right. That's how the machlokes, so to speak, started. But what happened is that the guys who believe that it adds the taste became more into that cheetah and will start using, let's say, only sherry casks because they want to make sure there's lots of that taste into it. And they'll either, some of them, we'll see in a second, even add sherry in later. Because once they hold of that cheetah, so they got really into it, and they put lots of sherry in, and they're proud of it.
Lots of sherry, yeah, they ask for the cask. What
no,
do you do?
No, because it doesn't sit just in one cask. Over its 12 years, it sits in many casks. They'll use only sherry casks. And they'll only use first-run sherry casks. We'll see about that in a second. They only use first-run sherry casks to make sure they get sherry casks that have said, that's the first time it's been used. So they're very into it, and they'll even tell you, they put onto the bottle,
let's
and you can read it. They make a whole effort into it. The other guys say, no, they're ruining the scotch. The other guys say, they're ruining the taste. You just need a certain amount to offset. Okay, so I can't creep into everybody's mind. But this is okay. Okay. One other thing that we're not going to talk about, which is this, which has to do with the first one cask, is there's a thought to say, even if you use sherry cask, the cask might be mutter because of meal of urine. That's its own different child. Okay, we've done that. And I want to get to the third issue, how I'm going to make it to Shabbos. The third issue, which I want to talk about, was the flavors.
Once it's finished in the sherry cask, how long is the period until they actually use it for the next? Is it like 12 months?
After they
finish with the sherry.
No, I don't believe so. I shouldn't say I don't believe so.
Means in the bottling? Until they bottle the
sherry? No. The guy in Spain uses it for sherry. He finishes it on June 1st. How quickly does the scotch get into it? Does it sit for 12 months between June 1st? Does he not use it for another year?
Does it make a difference, no?
Yes, it makes quite a difference. Yeah, I know the answer to that. That makes, I think that dries out in 12 months, anything. I don't know. I can't answer. I don't. Okay, the last thing was about the last step on the bottom of the page here, which is 13 through 17 on the bottom of the page here, which was, once the product is finished, and this even applies to things that were not aged, once the thing is finished, are they adding things into it later on that would maybe ask for the wine, ask for the beverage because of there being a milk study of time which might be traded. Okay, so I'm going to go through it quickly. I know that. I'm going to go through it. I know that. And I have a dentist appointment.
No, that's me. It's going to happen. You're not going to get to a quarter of this tomorrow.
Don't worry. Don't let me know. You have to work them up anyway.
I'm going to ask at the end. Rabbi Konku, you drink the calendar.
Okay. Okay, so the third issue is about flavors. Okay, which comes in a few different forms. Okay, but before, just to talk quickly about the shiloh, what a flavor is. Flavors have in it things that are avizo taimel and that are not avizo taimel. Flavors are usually put in an amount.
Can you explain that?
Yes. Flavors have in them some components that give taste to the food,
okay.
and some components that are there just as carriers and all kinds of other kinds of roles that have nothing to do with taal. Flavors are usually put in such tiny amounts that everything in there except for the avigdal time is bach position.
Right.
So those are usually not a shiloh. The shiloh is on the parts that are avigdal time that give taste. Okay, so now there's a bigger question about whether let's say a flavor has five components that give time and one of them is treif, should we treat this flavor as kosher or treif? B'dyavad. Should we say that it's treif because it has an avigdal time? Or should we say it's kosher because of Zevah the garden? Of the five tastes that are in here, four of them are kosher, one of them is treif. So overall, the bouquet that we call this finished flavor is made of kosher and treif, so Zevah the garden. Okay?
That's really
That's a question.
They're really called bouquet?
Okay? Yes, that's
the
flavor.
Right?
Yes, I cannot make that. It's not because of shul. That's what the flavor is called. Okay? So the assumption that we will work with, okay, which is the top lahachmir, is to say like this. The Gemara says that Zev Zekar only works when the Isser doesn't have, is aimed by Kedel Hamid. The Isser can't do the thing by itself. Okay, the way it works when you make a flavor is when you have five components, if you were to only have one of those components, it's not like that component would do nothing. You wouldn't taste something. That's not the way it works. The way it works is that they take five, they take a bite of an orange, and they say, what do I taste when I have an orange? And the flavorer says, I really taste five different things when I'm eating an orange. And then I put each one of those five things into the flavor so that when you drink the orange soda, you'll taste that orange taste that I taste when I bit into an actual orange. And they're trying to mimic that. But they say, now the five things that they put in have nothing to do with orange. It's not like I'm putting in a little orange and a little more orange and a little more orange and a little more orange until I have all together that orange flavor. No, I put in one thing that tastes like... One thing that tastes like
colors. Just look at the flavor chemical formula for orange flavor. Does something, you know?
Right. The components that in the
same colors and it comes out with them.
Yes. So in this case, if I was to put in just the trace would have enough time to it. It's there in enough strength to give taste. Now, the thing that I'd be treating instead tastes like orange soda. It would taste like, and I don't kid you, it would taste like cut grass. Okay. Now nobody wants to drink soda that tastes like cut, freshly cut grass. Okay. But it would give it time. It has enough cut up. It has enough to give time that. Now, when you, me and you, don't normally realize that when we drink, when we bite into an orange, we're really, one of the things we're tasting is cut grass. Okay? But they taste it. You really do. That's a green note. And we're going to put that in. And then when you eat, drink your orange soda, you're going to taste this grass at just the right time. It's going to make it taste good. Okay? So that, the Tav B'Hachma doesn't say that it's Yesh B'Kedei L'Chametz. Okay? We could talk about this more later because we're really out of time. but it's Negeis the following. There's two different ways to flavor a whiskey. There's two very different ways to do it. One is, I take vodka. Okay, vodka has a very standard and plain taste to it. I take vodka, and I add orange flavor to it. I make orange vodka. I make spiced rum. I take a thing that has a reasonably simple taste, and I give a whole different taste to it. Okay, that's number 17. I take a thing and I add a flavor to it. I add something that gives a strong taste. I make something called imitation bourbon. What's imitation bourbon? It means I take rye and I add a flavor to it that makes it taste like bourbon. So it tastes like rye. It tastes like bourbon. I'm making a very noticeable change to the thing. That's what's called a flavor. And that's kind of the case. If one of the things is usher, we would have to say it would not be seven as a crime and you wouldn't be allowed to drink it. Okay, if you look on the last page on the thing of the handout, it's a list of things like that that have flavor in it. But then there's another thing called a blender. Okay, a blender is not a flavor. A blender is like this. This is what Ramosha was talking about when he said the 2.5%. The government allows you, in many cases, to put in... Let me back up. The government charges the error 100% tax on schnapps. If you want to put in...
Talking about
in
America, France.
In the United States. The American government charges the error 100% tax on schnapps.
Sales tax, remember?
Yes. Well, whatever okay, they call it.
Before
they sell. So if they cost them, $10 to make the bottle, they can't sell for less than $20. $10 goes right to the government. So in order to get out of those taxes, the government says that only applies if it's a beverage. If you put in a flavor, the alcohol that's in the flavor, that doesn't count. The alcohol in the flavor is not a beverage, that's a flavor. So that alcohol in the flavor, you don't have to pay such high taxes on. Okay? So, does that make sense? So you could make a beverage, if it would be 100% alcohol.
That doesn't make sense.
You make all 20 ounces of schnapps, you have to pay tax on those 20 ounces. If you make 19 ounces of schnapps and 1 ounce of flavor, of what you call flavor, you don't pay tax on that one ounce. So what the government lets you do is you put up to 2.5%. That's what Moshe is talking about. 2.5% of flavor. In order to be a flavor, it has to be taste. But the reason why the guy is putting it in is not because he wants a taste. He's putting it in because he's getting free alcohol. Okay. Now, that alcohol he puts in might be trafe. That might be grain neutral spirits. That might be trafe also. But aside from that, child, leave that on the side. He's putting it in.
Right?
No, that's not why they put in glycerin. He's putting in the alcohol. We'll get to glycerin afterwards. They put in the alcohol so they can slip by on the taxes. Now, in order to be allowed to put in the alcohol, they have to put in some taste instead also. Because they're not allowed to put in alcohol. They're not allowed to put in flavor. So the thing that they call it is called a blender. Which means is they're putting something in to legally call this alcohol a flavor rather than being called just plain alcohol.
They're putting in some alcohol that's flavored.
They're putting in a flavor. Flavors often are carried in alcohol. But in this case, it's not that they're putting in orange flavor, that they're carrying in alcohol because that's just the way you do it. Their mind is, I'm putting in alcohol, and I never have to put in some flavor.
It's about them like it tastes like nothing. And I just didn't really change the thing.
Correct. Now, so now, at the beginning, when this first started, they would put in anything that would taste like nothing. They didn't want to affect the taste. Had no reason to affect the taste because it was just a trick, so to speak. The government was like winking at them and letting them do this, okay? So with time, they did begin putting in flavors. They said, once I'm already doing it, I might as well get something out of this also. But the flavors that they put in, as a rule, are very subtle flavors, and they're there, the word that uses blenders is because it blends and makes it that overall all of our schnapps taste similar from year to year, where it gives certain, you know, similarities to
the
people
lemon,
get.
The lemon?
No, no, not lemon. No. If you give a lemon flavor, it means I'm taking schnapps and I'm adding lemon flavor to it.
So this doesn't come on the ingredient.
No, it doesn't come with some. So the whole, by its nature, the blend that they're putting in is not to add a different taste. It's to add a similar taste to what you have in your schnapps, and to somehow, you know, overall give a little bit stronger, a little weaker taste to it. So that's mamish a case of a zevis agarim, because there, the tam that I'm putting in here is along the lines of the tam of the food that's in there already. So it's not like I'm putting lemon into vodka. Lemon and vodka, I'm doing just so the lemon that's in there, if it's treif, is making this food treif. The blender that I'm putting into there, that the guy's putting in, is a blender that's within the range of the taste that we have there. And the overall taste that I taste is 97% because of the schnapps and 3% because of the flavor that's in here. So it's mamish a case of zevis agarim. I'm not saying myself. This is an argument we made that Rabbi Belsky and Rabbi both accepted. That that kind of case is there. It's mamish a zevis agarim. Okay, there's other stuff to be made about the blenders also. So what I'm saying in here is like this. If you have a thing that's on the last page, that's mamish a flavor thing, you have an imitation thing, you have a flavored vodka, spice, rum, you have a liqueur that's flavored, there the flavor gives a pronounced different taste to the thing that's there originally, and that's a regular style of a flavor that seemingly should be offered, and there's no cool of zevis agarim. If you have a thing that has just a blender, which is reasonably common in blended, in things that are called blended, there's legalities here. They're allowed to have this 2.5% of alcohol. There's good reason to say that that stuff is not considered a vidot taima. That's mamish case of zevis agarim. And even on the side that it's in there, and even on the side that it's treif, it would be more to have that kind of stuff.
So what is called blended whiskey? That has nothing to do with that.
Yes, it does, because in almost everything that's the government is very methodic on how you call your thing. And almost everything that's called blended, okay, that has the word, that's allowed to use the word blended, is allowed to have HFCBM, harmless coloring and flavoring, blending materials. The order. So almost everyone of them is allowed to have that in it. So when you call something blended bourbon, let's say, then you're allowed to have blended. Really means you could have for more than one batch. Right. But it also allows you to throw in harmless coloring and flavoring material. That's got, I don't know, whatever it stands for. So then you're allowed to put in a blender. Now, if you were a guy making whiskey, if you're a really high-quality person, you might say, I won't put in the blender because it might affect my taste. But if you're even not such a high, even if you are, or even if surely if you're not high-quality, you'll say, I get 2.5% for free. I'm going to save 50% on this thing. So why wouldn't I put it in?
50%.
And it's 100% tax on the thing. I'll say the 100%
you're
tax.
You're just saving 2.5%.
Oh, but on that 2.5%, I'll save full tax on that thing.
Right.
So There's a lot of money to save on every bottle. I'll be able to knock off, I don't know, save another 50 cents on a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
It's a considerable tax that I'm saving on it. So when a guy's allowed to, some people, off their pride and off the pride of their product, they won't put it in. But it's reasonably common that a guy would want to do that because it's like, it's free money.
What's the difference between Canada and America? There is something different. You know?
Yes, there are. The rules in Canada and the labeling requirements are not nearly as strict as we have here. So the rules of, to my understanding, so the rules of like what you can call straight bourbon and straight Tennessee has very more specific rules, and in Canada things are looser as to what can be called Canadian whiskeys. The rules are, I believe, are less strict as to what has to be in there. Okay. Okay, I didn't talk about his finishings. Okay, the finishings is in box number 13.
On the bottom?
Okay, the finishing is 13.
Friday?
Yes, finishings of number 13 is really very similar to our Moshe Shiloh about Bitter B'Shisha.
What is finishing?
Finishing is that when the government, the rules change about how they make bourbon, and markets change all kinds of things, that they stop using sherry casks. People make scotch, stop using sherry casks. So the guys who made the sherry had a problem. It didn't taste as good. The scotch didn't taste as good when they didn't put the sherry in. So they started doing in is to smear sherry on the bottle, on the not sherry cask. They would smear sherry onto the outside of it before they put the scotch
inside
into it. On the inside of it before they put the scotch in. And it wasn't the essence of a sherry cask.
That wasn't outlawed.
Right. No. But they changed the law in Kentucky and then something changed in Spain. So there were less sherry casks and more non-sherry casks available on the market. So the guys in Scotland didn't have those sherry casks to use. So it wasn't tasting right. So they started smearing sherry onto it.
Uh-huh.
And so first they did it just as like, so to mimic the sherry casks. Then they came up with an Einfeld. How many different brands can I have of my schnapps? I need to make schnapps. So they started making it with special finishings. I mean, now the type of finishing you put onto it became like a flavor. It's a Chevy. It's Chevy. You're pouring the wine onto it, but the way you do it and how many times or whatever it is became now a marketing tool. Instead of just selling it, now I used to sell 12, 15, and 18-year-olds. Now I sell 15 with one this finish and this thing with 15 with that finish. I can make the difference.
Why don't they just put in a little sherry? Enough is over. Just put a little sherry in it. Whatever gets out of the walls of the thing. You know,
I don't. I'm not a scotch maker. I'm sorry. So I don't. But that's what it made so much of Shiloh Bet Yisrael. Okay.